States of America. Mr. Obama's election is an indication that the American society is undergoing transformation. The South African government believes that Mr. Obama's election will lay a solid foundation for the rejuvenation of America's relations.
Jefferson, we've gone at this board to an extent of looking at the things that are going to go into the local context. And with my experience here, I've added a lot of value in making sure that we are changing the landscape of the current broadcasting.
This is the commission report from Dr. Zimala, which looks into advocacy college fitness for the Office of National Director of Service Prosecution. The President is studying the report and he will release its content as soon as due processes have been considered. The President will also announce his decision on the future of Mr. Sikoli in due course. Kenneth is extremely concerned about the recent outbreak of conflict in the DRC and the lack of progress in the power sharing talks in Zimbabwe. The meeting noted that SADC will be convening an extraordinary summit of heads of state and government at the Central Convention Center on November the 9th to discuss the political situation in both the DRC and Zimbabwe. The meeting expressed grave concern about the recent state of life aircraft accident over the past few months, which have claimed up to 34 lives. While we regret the loss of lives, government is satisfied that our aviation industry, especially our commercial airlines, has one of the best safety records in the world. Government calls on the South African Civil Aviation Authority to urgently implement stricter control measures to ensure that accidents are prevented. The Department of Transport is already interacting with the aviation authorities to address the causes of these accidents. Cabinet also approved the proposal on alternative approaches to the funding of concurrent functions such as education, housing, social development, and health in South Africa's intergovernmental system. In summary, the proposed approach seeks to achieve greater alignment between policy making, priority setting, and the vertical division of revenue between the different spheres, and to address the challenges such as non-implementation of national priorities by the different spheres as funds are sometimes diverted to other priorities and functions in provinces and municipalities. In terms of this new approach, policy and budget priorities in the concurrent functions will be determined by national government in consultation with the different spheres. In allocating budgets, national treasurer will ensure that national priorities are included in provincial plans. It is further proposed that the housing function be assigned to municipalities. The proposed approach will be discussed with provinces and SALCA at the next Presidential Coordinating Council, which will take place in December. The meeting noted that President Kgalema Motlanthe held a successful meeting with the South African Ministers Forum on the 1st of November 2008. This meeting provided an opportunity for the President and members of SANET to discuss a number of issues that have an impact on the relationship between government and the media. The outcome of the meeting included the following. The President made a commitment to consider all the concerns raised by SANET regarding the Freedoms and Publication Bill. A colloquium will be convened by GCIS and the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development and SANET to address the concerns raised by SANET regarding legislation that has the potential to impact negatively on media freedom. The parties agreed to move with speed to establish the Presidential Press Corps. The chairperson of SANET and the CEO of GCIS were specifically mandated to expedite the establishment of the Presidential Press Corps. Three new vaccines will be introduced into the expanded program on immunization at a cost of 1.1 billion rand. These vaccines are expected to significantly reduce childhood mortality, morbidity, and human suffering from vaccine-preventable diseases. These vaccines will form part of government's effort to improve the health and life expectancy of South Africans by improving access to life-saving vaccines, and will also bring us closer to the realization of the Millennium Development Goal of reducing child mortality by 2/3 by the year 2015. The new vaccines will be introduced nationally in January 2009. a progress report on the implementation of the LS project was noted. The report highlighted, among other things, the 34% capacity increase on bilateral air services, implementation of the 1999 Yamoussoukro decision on the liberalization of intra-Africa air transport services, and the conclusion of a new memorandum of understanding between the South African Airways and the United Arab Emirates Airlines, which is FIFA's official carrier for the 2010 FIFA World Cup. The MOU entitles the UAE Airlines to operate up to 28% of flights into Johannesburg and another 14 flights to Cape Town by 2010. The strategy is making real progress in opening our skies to facilitate trade and tourism between South Africa and the continent. Cabinet also took the opportunity to congratulate Ms. Monica Nhlanhla, Chief Executive Officer of the Airport Company of South Africa, and her team for the professional manner in which the construction and development of the various airports is being implemented. Government is pleased that ACTA is proceeding to implement the mandate to ensure that we have a world-class airport infrastructure in preparation to host the 2010 FIFA World Cup and beyond. South Africans should be proud of the fact that South African airports have been transformed into world-class airports. Cabinet is pleased to announce that Reverend Frank Chikane, the DG in the presidency, has agreed to continue serving government until the general elections in 2009. In performing his duties, Reverend Chikane will work closely with the Chief Operations Officer in the presidency, that is Mr. Trevor Falk. Cabinet also thanks Frank Chikane for agreeing to stay on and express appreciation to him for his excellent service to the government and the people of South Africa over the past 13 years. The progress report on the development of a new high security hotspot was noted. The meeting welcomed and supported the initiative, which is aimed at ensuring that South African hotspots meet and exceed global security requirements. Progress on the implementation of the Neighborhood Development Partnership Grant was noted. This grant is meant to support projects that provide community infrastructure, attract private sector development in the township, and improve the quality of life of residents in the targeted disadvantaged area. The NDCG has a portfolio of 86 wards in 135 townships in 51 municipalities at a cost of 8.7 billion rand over 10 years. The 7.5% cost of living salary adjustment for the office bearers of the South African Human Rights Commission and other state institutions was approved. This adjustment will be equal to the adjustment offered in the public service. These adjustments will take effect on the 1st April 2008. The alienation of infrastructure of the Val Gamma Gara government water scheme to the Sibibeng Water Board was also approved. The infrastructure to be transferred encompasses the bulk services supplying water to the mine, which are the economic development engines to the affected area. Parliament will be opposed to approve the transaction as the value of the scheme exceeds the prescribed 100 million rand mark. A framework agreement has been reached with the unions to ensure the smooth transfer of staff to the new authorities. Cabinet noted that South Africa won the bid to host the prestigious 35th International Geological Congress, which will be held in South Africa on the year 2016. The meeting noted and supported South Africa's bid to host the 6th World Water Forum in March 2012 in Durban, and the Interactive Gambling Tax Bill was approved for submission to Parliament. The following appointments were also approved. End of statement. We'll take questions, starting with Kato. Anybody?
Jan de Lange, Independent Newspapers, Timba, thank you. Just on the Ginwala Commission report, you note here in the press release that the contents will be released as soon as all due processes have been concluded. Can you tell us what those due processes are? And then you say the President will announce his decision on the future of Advocate Macaulay in due course. Can you give us some time scales there, please?
Thank you, Dion. The most important step with regard to the report, is to ensure that all the relevant people who are entitled to receive the report receive it. In this regard, importantly, giving copies to the attorneys representing Advocate Bikoli and making sure that the President also receives legal advice on the report from the President's legal advisor. So those are the due processes that need to take place. And the view was that we could not publish the report before Advocate Bikoli received the copy. The President, in my discussion with him yesterday, he said he will try and study the report and receive advice as quickly as possible. So within a matter of days, we should expect to hear what the President has decided. And unfortunately, at this stage, I'm not in a position to tell you what the findings were and what the recommendations of the Commission is. But that will be done when we publish the report, hopefully within a matter of days. Any other questions?
Yes, Donald Presley, Business Report. Just referring to this budgeting process changing regarding housing in particular, can you give us background on as to why this recommendation has been made? What were the shortfalls in particular that were worrying Cabinet? And how will it work, the new system?
Basically, what the report, as you see in the statement, is basically trying to address is the fact that national governments identify the set priorities at national level, but they are then allocated to provinces and municipalities. But from time to time, you find that the priorities are set by government are not being implemented at provincial and local level because provinces have their own makotas and they determine their own priorities and decide to allocate money to the provincial priorities which are not always in line with what the national government seeks to achieve. So you could take, for instance, housing and education. National government would say priorities, for instance, would be on early childhood development or other basic education. But when it comes to allocation of resources, you find that provinces would actually identify something else other than those national priorities. So the view is that we need to begin to bring a greater level of alignment between what national government identifies as priorities and what ultimately gets implemented at provincial and local government. So housing is being identified as one possible area where we could actually say these are the national priorities and which of the spheres in government is best placed to implement that national priority or implement that policy. And the view of the team working on this proposal was basically that the delivery of housing is a function that can be best delivered if it's assigned to the municipalities that control land, that know what the housing needs are at the local level. So that's the kind of discussion that is being considered by Cabinet. And that's why the proposal to review the way in which priorities are set, budgets are allocated, is being put on the table. But the matter will be discussed further with the provinces as we say in the statement.
Timber, we've got the follow-up, Timber.
Follow-up question?
If you don't mind, Timber, Linda Insall, I just wanted to find out, you know, I understand there is a review going on the whole concurrent functions and the distribution of powers between national and provincial and local. How does this fit into that whole review? And does any of these realignments require an amendment to the Constitution, and when and how will that happen? Thanks.
The review of the functions and responsibilities of the different spheres of government is something that is likely to take much longer, and it may actually be one of those policy issues that are left for the new government to implement after election. So that's likely to take a slightly longer time. What this proposal basically does is that as we get closer to the allocation of budget for the next financial year, it was important to actually identify some measures that could be implemented before we even implement any changes to the powers and functions of the different spheres. So ultimately, when a decision is taken on the allocation of responsibilities, there might have to be adjustments to make sure that this new proposal of funding is actually incorporated. At this stage, these proposals are simply looking at the funding question, without necessarily looking at amendments to the constitution. For instance, if you take the assignment of the housing function to local government, that function is already accommodated in the constitution. So the constitution does say that government can reassign functions to a different sphere of government. So at this stage, these funding proposals, in our view, do not necessarily warrant any constitutional amendment.
One quick further follow-up. I mean, to detect to provinces how they should spend their money, whether wisely or not, isn't that a abrogation of their provincial competence?
Not necessarily. What the current legal framework is that national government sets priorities and allocates budgets to all spheres of government. So in that allocation of budgets, then national government is able to put what is called the Division of Revenue Act, which is tabled in Parliament, which says these are the monies we're allocating to the different spheres, and these are the policy objectives that we're seeking to achieve. And what we've found is that in this current framework, it does happen from time to time that priorities are set, but when resources are allocated, we find that those priorities are not carried forward by the different spheres. So we find that national government will allocate money, say, for primary school education. A province then sets its own priorities and say, for instance, as an example, that rural road construction is a priority for that particular province. So money gets diverted from the national fiscal to rural road construction, and the policy requirement about primary education actually ends up being relegated to a non-important function at the provincial level. So this is basically to clean up the way the system is working, to make sure that there's proper alignment between policy setting or policy determination, priority setting, and budget allocation. So it's an attempt to make sure that we can work much more effectively as government.
Can I continue with a follow-up, Mr. Michael Hamlin?
Yes.
The decision about housing seems to be, or the proposal about housing seems to be, taking housing away from the provinces. Am I correct in assuming that? And where does that leave projects such as the Gateway project in Cape Town, which is not a municipal project anymore, it is a provincial project and national?
Well, as I was saying, Michael, the view of the team that was working on this proposal was that housing, providing housing to communities, is one of those functions, in our view, that can be best performed if it's assigned to the local government sphere. Because it's closer to communities. Most of the land in these provinces is actually controlled by local government. So it makes sense that the housing project be implemented at the provincial sphere. So what that means is basically that when funding is allocated for housing, that funding would actually be channeled via provinces to local government. Now what that means, if you look at the project such as the one you're mentioning in Cape Town, it was meant to pilot a new initiative where you have a project of delivering housing using or in partnership between national government, provincial government, and the local sphere. And what was discovered was that in the implementation of the project, there were lots of tensions and conflicts because national government would say, these are the priorities, this is what we think we should be doing. A province would say, but that's not in line with what we're trying to do. Local government would say, but housing provision should actually be our responsibility. So there was a lot of tension and conflict that arose as a result of this partnership that did not work as well. What this proposal is suggesting is that maybe in future, if we want to deliver housing to our communities, the best sphere to deliver this function is actually the local government sphere. And that is the proposal that's been put on the table. But as of that, it will be discussed with the provinces and SAGA in December to see how it could be implemented and what could be the shortcomings when this proposal is implemented.
Timba, we've got two follow-ups, Timba.
Sorry, Temba, Kaisel from City Press. I mean, if national government, right, is going to determine, in terms of education and housing and social development, that money be spent in this way and that way, what is the need of having provincial departments of housing, education, and social development?
Well, that's the medium term review or the pause and function, as we were saying earlier on. Pause and function, those are studies that are taking place in the Department of Provincial and Local Government. But what this proposal is simply focusing on is a different way of funding and making sure that policy priorities set at national level are implemented in line with the policies as approved by cabinet. So what that would mean is that, in fact, the functions of delivering houses that were located in the provincial government, for example, provincial housing department, the actual delivery of housing will be assigned to local government. And what that would mean is that the role of provincial government may have to change. It may have to be to monitor implementation, coordinate the work of the different municipalities as far as housing delivery is concerned, etc. But this model is saying basically at this stage, this is how we think some of these functions should be funded to make sure that we achieve a greater level of alignment.
Same, but Dion again, how would you respond to suggestions that this move, and it may be seen this way in some quarters, is aimed at taking away control of budgets from provinces in anticipation of the possibility that the governing party may lose control of some provinces in the next election?
Well, I'm sure a lot of analysts may make that, or may come to that conclusion, but that's not necessarily the case. Our role as government is to continue to seek new ways of improving the way in which we deliver services to our communities. Now, at this particular point in time, government is of the view that the work of government in this country has to continue, irrespective of which party or which parties will be winning which province. Irrespective of that, we have to continue to find better ways of delivering services to our communities. And that's what this model is basically looking at, to say we think that as national government, to achieve a greater level of alignment and coordination between policies, priorities, and budget allocation, the best way to do it is to actually look at a new model of funding some of these concurrent functions. And we can ensure that we set up a briefing when the GNHR does a briefing, hopefully in the next few weeks. We'll be able to just give you some of the details of what are the shortcomings in the existing system. When we're saying that priorities are set nationally, but not being implemented at provincial level, what does that really mean in actual terms? So we can give you details at a later stage. But at this stage, I want to assure you that, in fact, this policy proposal has nothing to do with trying to preempt the outcome of the election. I can assure you, as far as that is concerned.
It's Anna Majabu from Soweto. Just a follow-up on the housing. Did you go into details about how, you know, municipalities will deliver housing? Are you still looking at using kind of state-owned housing companies like Tbilisha, which is now bankrupt? I mean, I know it's supposed to be getting transformed into a housing development agency, but, you know, how will that work if municipalities are in charge of housing?
Well, let me put it this way. The function of delivering housing to communities, it is proposed in this new approach that it should be a function that is assigned to the local government sphere. Now, in implementing that decision, funding is then allocated to local government, but then local government will use different agencies for the actual delivery and construction of the houses, of houses to communities. So, for instance, money will be allocated to Cape Town. If that function is assigned to Cape Town will then use different agencies, whether it's the proposed housing agency or go to the private sector, for the actual construction of houses. So that's how the proposed system will work. Any other question? Pretoria, Cape Town?
Hi, Tema. This is Fran Blandy from AFP. My question is about the SADC meeting this weekend. You say Cabinet's extremely concerned about the lack of progress in the talks in Zimbabwe. And we've seen that from the first meeting in Zambia months ago. These numerous SADC meetings seem to elicit little more than hot air. Will South Africa, the chairperson, be urging the head of state to take a bit of a harder line against Zimbabwe this time around?
As we state in the statement, government is extremely concerned about, especially the eruption of violence in the eastern part of the DRC. Secondly, about the slow pace in the power sharing talks between the various parties in Zimbabwe. And it is government's view that, in fact, the heads of state must now take urgent steps to make sure that solutions are found, political solutions are found to these two situations that we just described. So as far as Zimbabwe is concerned, we believe that, in fact, the failure of the parties to agree on the new cabinet is something that is becoming a major hindrance to the political stability that we so desire in the SADC region. So we will be indeed taking a very firm position as government to make sure that the parties in Zimbabwe understand the urgency of finding a settlement, because we believe that South Africa in the region cannot be held to ransom by two parties that are failing, or three parties that are failing to reach agreement on the allocation of cabinet talks. So this is becoming a matter of extreme concern to us, and we will indeed be taking quite a hard stand to make sure that agreement is reached.
Tima, just a follow-up question. You say they must take urgent steps. Was it discussed what sort of steps these should be? The SADC has
It will be inappropriate for us to speak before the heads of government meeting takes place on Sunday. But we believe that, in fact, the heads of state have played a key role in making sure that, in fact, the Zimbabwean problem is seen as an African problem with African solutions being required. Now, the heads of state are being tested to see if they can actually deliver a political solution to the Zimbabwean problem. So we will indeed be making proposals about how we think the situation could be expedited. But it's something that we will be sharing with the heads of state as a meeting.
Timber Wyndham Hartley from Business Day. There's 100 million rands lying around somewhere for an agricultural rescue plan, but it can only be implemented once the parties have agreed. Have we missed the planting season in Zimbabwe?
Wyndham, it's actually not 100 million, I think it's 300 million, right? We are obviously worried about that. A custom has been put in place by government that has put together a proposal about how that money could be distributed or allocated. However, one of the major stumbling blocks is the fact that, in fact, we are battling to sit at a ministerial level with the relevant ministers from Zimbabwe to make sure that this money can be distributed. I can't tell you with certainty whether we'll meet the rainy season with yet. But our offer to help still remains, and we are committed to doing everything possible to ensure that that money is put into good use as soon as possible. Any other questions?
Temba, Pumelelo here, Sunday Times.
Yeah.
Just two questions. On Zimbabwe, you're saying that South Africa will be taking a hard stance to ensure that these guys, they end up agreeing on the allocation of cabinet. What stance, how would you execute the hard line stance? And secondly, why is cabinet not discussing the exchange of DGs of sport and correctional services? I mean, normally you would normally brief us about appointments that were made, like we did now with Chikana, but last week we didn't, and even now it's not in your statement. What's happening? Why is this matter not being discussed in cabinet?
Hard stance, as I was saying, we are getting a bit anxious about the failure of the parties to reach a political settlement. And we believe that, in fact, the parties have agreed on the major issue. It is actually quite a problem that, in fact, the only outstanding issue is the allocation of cabinet positions. And therefore, our position is that the parties need to see the urgency with which this matter needs to be attended. So we will be expressing our views as the South African government that the matter needs to be resolved as quickly as possible. And we remain optimistic and hopeful that the SADC summit this weekend may just help us reach a final solution on this matter. All the parties in Zimbabwe will be at the top, and we believe that in fact they will be able to listen and take advice that will be coming from the various heads of state. Unfortunately, at this stage, I can't give you more details about what exactly we will be putting in the meeting. On the issue of DJs, the matter was not covered in the previous cabinet statement because the issue had not been discussed in the cabinet meeting. However, it's a matter that was discussed and dealt with by ministers in consultation with the presidency, and it was approved outside of the cabinet meeting. So on those kinds of issues, it would not be for cabinet to actually discuss an agreement that is reached by two ministers, especially because these were not necessarily new appointments. It was a question of transferring two senior civil servants from one department to the other, and it was felt at the time that it was not necessary to bring that issue for discussion at cabinet. So that's why the matter is not in the statement and was not at the last meeting.
Last question, a question in Cape Town, Themba.
Yes?
Themba, Lwandile, SABC. The Films and Publications Bill. This colloquium shouldn't be something that it happened before the bill was dealt with in Parliament.
The Film and Publications Bill is something that was discussed in several meetings between government and Parliament and our stakeholders. And in those discussions, there were some agreements which did lead to some amendments which were implemented by Parliament in the House. In those meetings, Sanef was also requested to make submissions directly to Parliament, and that did take place. We had also agreed that legal advisors from the Department of Home Affairs and Sanef representatives should sit and discuss the bill, and that did actually take place. So we believe that extensive discussions did take place between government and Sanef. However, at this stage, what's remaining is for the President to simply sign the bill into legislation, and the President has said he wants to receive legal advice before he actually signs this bill. So the matter is now left to the President to discuss. The colloquium that we're mentioning here is basically a seminar where government will sit around with representatives of media organizations to discuss other legislation that is still in our statute book. That could be seem to be muzzling media freedom in the country. So those are two separate things. But a short answer to your question, yes, there were extensive discussions between government and Parliament and the matter was tabled in Parliament after those discussions were taken place. So it's clear that in fact there were areas where there was no agreement between Parliament and government, but it was agreed that the matter must be left to Parliament to resolve.
Thanks, Themba.
Two questions from me. Firstly, on the issue of the elections, the cabinet discussed possible dates for elections, and if not, we just want to find out, you know, if any deadline we set by the government for an announcement to be made on when the elections will be held. And secondly, on the Dinala Commission, did you say that the President will announce his decision in due course? Now, has the President given any indication
okay, elections, no, cabinet did not discuss the forthcoming elections, and no date was discussed. But a date for elections is something that is discussed between the president and the head of the IEC. So as soon as that discussion takes place, an announcement will be made about the date of elections. So at this stage, no one can tell you when the election will take place, and the cabinet did not discuss the election. The general commission, as I was saying earlier on, the president has received the report, he's studying it. Part of what he's doing now is to also make sure that due process is followed, which means making sure that all the people who need to receive a copy of the report still receive it. With particular reference here would be advocate because himself who needs to get a copy, so a copy will be given. Legal advisor, etc. But in my discussion with the president, he did indicate that he expects that he will make a decision within a matter of days on the future of advocate's body, and that the report will also be revealed or published within a matter of days. So we just need to make sure that your process is followed and that you can apply in mind to the process for those things. Follow up question?
Eric, then, when exactly, when exactly did the President receive the report?
The President received the report on Tuesday afternoon. Okay, if there are no further questions, we can consider this. Thank you very much. Now, back to Pretoria, I know that the TV guys arrived late. What do you want to do? You want me to read a statement for you? This is just for the TV guys.
It's not.
Okay, Kevin Dell is yesterday, the 7th of November.